Our next guest this morning is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and New York Times best-selling author who's delivering a free public lecture tonight at the University of Hawaii at Manoa. It's called Confessions of an Enemy of the People, Media in the Age of Trump. He's Ellis Hennekin, and full disclosure, he's a classmate of mine from many years ago at Columbia University School of Journalism. Ellis, aloha, welcome, and hey, media in the age of Trump, what's your lead, buddy?
Well, first of all, it's nice to know that we're both still standing.
Yes,
that's the real goodness. But as we are here, we have a president who, as you know, is unlike any president we've ever had before, and that has brought up a whole series of challenges for the media. Mm. And some of them we've responded well to. I think some of them we've flubbed, and we're going to talk about that tonight.
And one of the unfair questions of where does this go from here? We're 2 years in now, mm-hmm. into a 4-year term. What do you watch for? I mean, let's take, for example, the recent government shutdown, and perhaps it's the once in future government shutdown. What do you take out of that that gives any indication of where we go?
Well, you can almost not imagine a similar set of events with any other president, right? And part of it, right at the core of it, I think, was Donald Trump's feeling that, you know, it doesn't really matter how people feel about it. Mm. People can criticize him. Everyone can say, including many of his closest advisors, that, hey, this is a crazy idea. It's cruel. It's not going to get you what you want. If you really want a wall, this is not the best way to get there, and real people are suffering. But he is uniquely able to withstand that kind of criticism. In fact, I think he sort of delights in it. He's a disruptor, and he likes disrupting stuff. And so those are the results we get.
What is the danger for journalists in terms of getting inured to something, to many aspects of the Donald Trump presidency?
Well, to us, it's like crack, right? It's so interesting, so crazy, so wild. The ratings are terrific, right? We're all selling more newspapers and getting better TV ratings than we've gotten in years. And so the tendency that we all have is to run toward the light, right? Run to the explosion. And I am not saying that we ought to pretend he's not there or that we ought to not cover stuff that's important. But Bill, I do think it's important that the media be savvy about this stuff, that we correct the misstatements of facts as they are being made, that we don't simply deliver the carnival and say, oh, gee, isn't that fun? But we constantly, over and over again, point out, hey, there are consequences to this. Here's who may be suffering here. Here's how our relationships with our allies are being strained, and on. So I don't think the answer is to turn our heads away, but the answer is to be very smart and very aggressive in the way we cover it.
Do you think there's been any increase in terms of the media's self-awareness about being used by Donald Trump?
Yeah. We constantly wrestle with that, and I think newsrooms across the country, including here, I'm sure, because, you know, he's really good at it. And he has brought some skills to bear that most politicians don't have, right? We've never elected anybody this famous as president.
And media savvy.
Super savvy, yeah.
In a sense of wanting to produce his own show.
Absolutely. And he has some native gifts of that. Add social media to the equation, which is a way for politicians to communicate with their base without the media, going around the media. And those tools, also, just as, and I don't know how to say this in a nice way, so I'm not going to try, but his willingness to lie, right? To say things that aren't true, to stick with him in the face of contrary evidence and say, hey, so what? You don't believe me. You say terrorists aren't coming across the border. I say they are. Now, there you go.
And disputing even to his intelligence officials as recently as this morning.
But
one area that close to the heart here in Hawaii, and I know from your hometown in New Orleans, climate change.
Yeah.
And the idea that, no, pay no attention to this. It's not as important. I mean, how does that... How's the media deal with that?
Well, first of all, I don't think it's aimed at everybody. I mean, he and frankly, the climate change deniers haven't won a lot of new converts. I think it's really aimed at keeping the base together. And so what those of us who cover this stuff and talk about it in a public way need to just keep coming back and saying, hey, here's the science. Here's the fact. I know these people are saying this thing, but here's the reality of it. And frankly, I think there's some minds we won't change. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're a very tribal country, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I do this pundit stuff all the time, and I love it. I love the debate part of it. I enjoy, you know, arguing with the skinny blonde women on Fox. I mean, I like all of that stuff. But I have to tell you, I don't think any of us are changing that many minds. I mean, I think it isn't really very easy today to convince a Trump lover that they ought to hate the guy. And conversely, someone who is not fond of the president, I don't think there's much you could say that would turn that opinion around.
At some point, you do hope that the facts come into the story.
We hope.
Though,
we can hope. Show me the evidence, but I'm still hoping.
You know, at the risk of going away from Donald Trump for a while, I know years ago, I lived in New York. You wrote a subway column in New York, and living in the city and being quite annoyed with the subway system quite often, I imagine there are experiences, maybe lessons from that inform other parts of your professional life.
Well, yeah, sure. One of them is go there as a reporter. You know, it's easy as we get on to just kind of opine from the sidelines. But, but when you go there, you learn stuff. And I mean, you know that from years of reporting all around the world, that there is no substitute for going and seeing somebody or showing up at the event.
Talking to folks.
Walking down the street and climbing the stairs. And that was...
Smell the air.
Yeah.
Shoe leather reporter.
That certainly qualifies. Also, find things that all people relate to. The subway in New York is a great example. Whatever neighborhood you live in, the subway is in some ways your neighborhood. And if you're in Honolulu, there are places that all people feel a connection to. Yeah. And seeing how they're doing is really important, I think.
I'd put the ocean, the land, and the sky among some of the things that connect
us. You got some good ones here. Let's admit it.
You know, you covered a horrible subway derailment in New York City. This is Union Square in 1991. Five people were killed. It was the deadliest subway crash in New York since 1928. The motorman was drunk. Mm-hmm. You and your team at Newsday won a Pulitzer for your coverage. Mm-hmm. I was living in New York at the time. I remember that really ripped at the heart of the city because everybody uses the subway and could see themselves in that horror.
Right. I've ridden that train. I could have been there.
Exactly. Yeah. I've been at Union State. I know that stop. You know, we had a terrible tragedy this week in Honolulu.
Yeah, I saw that.
Three pedestrians killed, others badly hurt in a neighborhood called Kaka'aka. Drunk driver. Mm-hmm. Many people in town can see themselves or loved ones in that, and I felt sort of a tremor of that, of pedestrians that could have been there on a random weeknight. What from your experience of that horrible subway crash there, what did it take to heal from that? Any insights for here?
Well, one or two, yeah. First of all, let's acknowledge that fear is rational. Right? I mean, it is unlikely, given the number of people who live here, that any one person is going to be affected by that. Statistics are our friend in a way. But people aren't crazy to feel like that. So let's start with that. And then let's start thinking about, you know, are there better ways using public policy, using engineering, using the smart folks who are at the university and elsewhere to try and come up with better answers to that? The question of drunk driving and people behind the wheel who are impaired is something that I think we've gotten smarter about, right? When we were kids, people didn't take that as seriously. But it really is important, I think, to come together, acknowledge the danger, and say, hey, you know, how can we do this in a way that is more humane and still lets us get around as we need to for our lives and our economy? And, you know, we don't all want to sit at home every day.
Yeah, live our lives. You know, you also co-write books these days.
Yeah,
you've
written a fun thing.
And you got one out this week that you've collaborated on or written with. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. It's called Let Me Finish, Trump, the Kushner's Ban in New Jersey and the Power of In-Your-Face Politics. Number one, welcome to Hawaii, which is not quite in-your-face politics. But what was it like working on that book and in these books generally?
I know you're thinking those are strange bedfellows, Christie and me, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, in a way, that's true. I mean, our political outlooks may not be perfectly congruent, to use a little understatement. But I love a great story. He's an interesting guy. He's had a phenomenal journey. And frankly, he's one of the very few Trump insiders who's cocky enough to tell you the truth. And so there's a lot of fascinating personal stuff in there, and the book's doing great. And I'm actually kind of proud of it.
And you've also done work with Dwight Gooden, yeah. Ray Kelly, former New York police commissioner, a lot of these. What's that like in terms of helping to tell somebody else's story?
Well, you know, it's different from most of the journalism I've done, which has often been about my point of view and my opinion. These are storytelling exercises. This is like me being a kid with my four brothers and sisters and my folks sitting at the table on Jefferson Avenue in New Orleans telling stories at dinner, half of which more or less were true. Right? Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, but that's how we learn is with stories, right? Arguments don't convince anybody of anything. Statistics don't. But those stories, boy, if you can tell them right, they really are how we connect as people.
Power of storytelling, power of talk story. Ellis, thanks so much for coming in.
Hey, what a nice treat.
What a great treat for us. Ellis Hanican, journalist, author, pundit, also the voice of Stormy on Cartoon Network C-Lab 2021. He'll be talking tonight at Manoa on Confessions of an Enemy of the People, Media in the Age of Trump. 7 p.m. in the Architecture Auditorium, and it's free.